But today we're going to talk about rest. We're going to talk about what we're going after this year, okay? And we're going to open up to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. You don't have to open it up. I'm going to read it for you. I'm going to read both from the NIV version and the Message translation, because I just love that Message translation. Here it goes. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm going to read the Message translation. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. You see, rest isn't just an absence of activity. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Rusa. Isn't that powerful? These texts are what we're going to focus on this year. And I want to just pray into this really quick. God, Holy Spirit, would you just come upon us in a quiet strength this morning? See, sometimes, God, you come like a fire. Sometimes you come like roaring wind. But I just feel this morning that you're coming in a whisper. But I feel like it's not a weak whisper. It's a powerful, strong whisper of strength and of power. Lord, this year, would you teach us how to walk in the unforced rhythms of your grace? Teach us what it means to live freely and lightly. Teach us what it means to find rest for our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, the reality is, some of you have had a jacked up 2017. Let's just be real. How many of you had a 2017 that just sucker punched you? Like, it just punched you in the gut. It was blow after blow, hardship after hardship, pressing after pressing. I've been talking to so many people who are telling me, man, I'm heading into 2018, and 2018, you better not play me like you played me in 2017, because 2017 really jacked me up. I've been talking to so many people who are excited for the new year, because 2017 was a year full of burnout, weariness, burden, tiredness, weariness. So many people have said 2017 straight up sucker punched me. You know what a sucker punch is? It's when I'm like, hey Josh, what's going on? Bam! It's like you don't see it coming. And a lot of people have felt that about 2017. But you know what? As I've been praying, I've been feeling a conviction in my spirit to take very seriously Jesus' promise in John chapter 10, verse 10, that he has come to give life and life to the fullest. I believe over 2018 that you are going to experience life and life to the fullest. But the answer to living life in that way is this. It's learning how to live in rest. We're going to talk about that today. Now, a lot of my teaching has been inspired by two things. Number one, a book called Garden City by John Mark Comer or Comer. I don't know how to say his name. I'm going to say Comer because it sounds more appropriate. Garden City by John Mark Comer is a very powerful book. In fact, if this is homework for every single one of you, you need to go out and get this book. Garden-City by John Mark. I don't see you writing it in your phone. You're going to read this book this year, church. If I'm your pastor, you're going to read this. Garden-City by John Mark Comer. And the second, I was really inspired by one of my good pastor friends in New Philadelphia Church in Korea, Marcus. He preached, they had a year of rest 2 years ago. Preached a powerful word about that. I'll also send that link out because it's a powerful sermon. But as I'm reading this book, this guy, John Mark, starts talking about his life and his ministry. And his story starts off very similar to what me and Krista's year was like last year. He planted a church And he was so excited. There was so much excitement that he was just going after it for God. There was nothing that could stop him. He was so hyped. He was so lit. He was like, nothing can get in my way. And he said that first year, it was hard, a lot of hard work, but it was so fun and so enjoyable. And I was like, amen. That's what RU was like. Like, it was hard. It was a lot of work, but it was so fun. It was so hype. It was so lit. But then he started talking about year two. And he starts saying, year two was even more difficult, but it was a little less lit. It was a little bit harder. Not just for me, but with my partner. It was really difficult, but we still got through it. I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then he talks about year three. And he said, by the time I got to year three, at the pace I was going, just work, 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 grinding, grinding, grinding. You're saying, by year three, it was the hardest it's ever been. And it was 0% lit. Wow. It was difficult. It was trying. I was burning out. I was weary all the time. I didn't look forward to coming to church on Sunday because it was such a weary place. And he began to say that in that first year when there's excitement and there's hype, it's easy. Right. You feel like you can just work on it without any rest. But he's saying it eventually catches up to you. And he was saying in this book that so many believers, even if they're not serving at church, do not know what it means to rest.
Yeah.
See, we look at rest like, I'm going to kick off my shoes, sit on the couch, throw on some Black Mirror on Netflix, just eat hot Cheetos, and that's rest. That is not rest. And we're going to learn about what rest is today. See, so many believers, we mistake taking time off and just not doing anything for rest.
Yeah.
But in fact, it is not. John Mark goes on to describe how God shifted his mindset and convicted him to establish a day of Sabbath during his week.
Yeah.
And he says, one day throughout the week, 24 hours, I'm going to set a day where I just focus on rest. Now, Krista and I, we have a day of Sabbath. It's on Monday, because Sunday is our work day. Because how many of you know this is work, okay? So on Monday is our rest day. It is our Sabbath. And if you know this is biblical, we're going to look back in Genesis where it comes from. But as he's describing his Sabbath, he begins to say, Sabbath is the best day of my week. In fact, for my family, every single one of my kids, they keep asking, Daddy, when is Sabbath? Daddy, when is Sabbath? And he's saying, this day, he's filled with so much rest that it pumps him up for the next day. And I began to look at my Sabbath. And I began to think, does Monday fill me up? Does Monday actually make me excited to go into work on Tuesday? I'm going to be real, church. No. I realize that Monday is just a day where I'm just trying to catch up, where I'm just trying to get a hold of myself, but I still go into Tuesday weary and unexcited.
Right, right.
And how many of you go into your work week weary and unexcited, tired, feeling like, yeah, I got a bunch of sleep during the weekend, but I still don't feel awake or alive? And he's saying the difference is rest, is the Sabbath. And so he begins to describe what his Sabbath looks like. For him, Sabbath begins at Friday evening at 6 p.m. And he says, before that moment, they do everything that they need to do around the house. They clean, they buy all the groceries, they even cook, they pay all the bills, they do everything that they need to do so that from Friday evening to Saturday evening, they can just rest and enjoy the Sabbath. And so he describes at 6 p.m. sharp, they have the biggest feast you can imagine. And he said this, there's no limit to what you can eat. He's saying, on the Sabbath, you eat the fattiest of meats, drink the choicest of wines. He's saying, on the Sabbath, you just enjoy. And so he's saying, this is the favorite time for his family because all of them just go ham on all the meals, right? And so after that, they began to pray and they began to reflect on the word and reflect on the week, how the week had been, and they go to sleep early. Listen, how many of you on your day off, knowing tomorrow you have a day off, you go to sleep early? No. You stay up late because you know you can sleep in. But he says, I go to sleep early because I want to maximize my day of rest tomorrow.
Wow.
And so he goes to sleep early, but he doesn't set his alarm clock. And he just wakes up whenever he wants. And so when he wakes up, the first thing he does is he spends time in the Word with God. And he has all his children and his wife do the same. And they do this together. They eat breakfast together. And then they do activities together, whether it's going on a hike, whether it's playing games with one another. And then in the afternoon, he spends quiet time just by himself, his introvert time. He journals. He He thinks back on the week previous, thinks about the week ahead, just has that time with God, and then they conclude again with the feast, you know, just going all out and going nuts. And I'm reading this, and I'm like, you know what my Sabbath looks like, honestly? My Sabbath looks like I wake up at an ungodly hour, first of all. I get up, just roll up out of bed, and I do not want to go outside. I feel like a vampire. If I open that door, it's like, my skin starts burning. And so I'm telling my wife, Krista, can we just Postmates? Like, can we just, the laziest thing you can imagine, can we just have people deliver food to us? And so we'll get food delivered, and I plant myself on my couch for the next unforeseen hours. I just sit there, and I just veg. I watch Netflix. I watch TV. Sometimes I play The Legend of Zelda, you know, on my Nintendo Switch. And I'll just chill, and then all of a sudden the day has gone by. And then it's time for dinner. Can we Postmates again? I'm too lazy to cook. I don't want to go out. And so I just veg out and stay home. And I realize the next day, I'm just full. I'm still weary. I'm still burdened. I'm not full of life. I'm full of rest. You know, my wife, she's more godly than me, because on our Sabbath, she wants to go outside. You know, she's that kind of person, like, I want to go into nature. I want to enjoy the fresh air. I want to take fig outside. Like, for her, that's what's life-giving. And I realized for me that my Sabbath has been detrimental to my health. Yeah. My Sabbath has been detrimental not just to my emotional and physical well-being. It's been detrimental to my spirit. And so we're going to look at what true rest is by going back to the beginning. Genesis 2, verse 2 to 3. If you know the narrative, God spoke all of creation into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be waters running, and he created everything just by his voice, by the words of his mouth. And then it gets to Genesis verse 2:2-3, and it says this. On the first 6 days, he worked. He created all of creation. But by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. What am I saying? God had the most productive week ever, fam. You think you have a productive week? You think you're good on your calendar? No, God had the most productive week in all of human history. He created all of creation in that week, and he didn't even need 7 days. All he needed was six. And he chose on that seventh day to abstain from doing more work. Why? Not because he was tired or weary. In fact, the word rested here in Hebrew is Shabbat. And Shabbat means to stop or to cease. In other words, he stopped everything that he was doing, but he didn't rest because he was tired or because he was worn out. He rested because he was done. And so he stopped. Another translation for that word Shabbat is to celebrate. Wow. You see, God didn't just stop and cease doing anything on that Sabbath day, on that seventh day, but he also celebrated the work of his hands. He looked upon all of creation and just enjoyed everything that he had made. That seventh day was not just for stopping and ceasing, but it was for celebrating. Yeah. You know, this week, I felt really useful because my good friend Nicole needed a dining table built from IKEA. And as a man, I'm not good at, you know, construction stuff, or I'm not like Carlos here, right? Like he built that whole thing under stage. I'm not like that. I need an IKEA instruction booklet. I need all the tools and all the parts so that I could assemble it, and it makes me feel like a man. And it makes me feel useful. And so I remember that Nicole needed this table built. And so I remember I thought, I'm gonna work on that today. And so I started building this table. And I'm like sweating, I'm like working really hard. Some of y'all are like, Pastor McGee, you're so fake. But no, I was proud, I was working, I felt like I had purpose, I felt like I was useful, I was putting those legs on that table, I was putting that chair together, I was nailing it in, I was screwing it tight. And after all my hard work, after about an hour and a half, I just sat back and I just enjoyed what I created. I looked at that table and I was like, ooh, that is solid, that is smooth, that is equal. I sat on the chair, I was like, ooh, this is sturdy. I just enjoyed the work of my hands. You know, 2 weeks ago, we bought a new desk because Krista wants me to work on music this year. And so we bought a desk where I could put all my music equipment on. And the same thing happened. I started building that jump. And when I finished, I remember I just sat on my couch and I was just looking at it. And I was just enjoying that I created. Have you ever worked on something and afterwards you're just so proud of the work that you had done that you just sit back and you just enjoy it? Now, Justin built a real table. He didn't build no IKEA table, right? And I imagine when he uses it or when he sits on it, that he feels pride at the work that he had done. This is what God did on the Sabbath, is that he worked and he stopped on that seventh day so that he could celebrate and enjoy the work of his hands. Now, the Jews have been practicing the Sabbath for centuries, and they call it Menuha. And basically, the translation for Menuha is rest, but it's also celebration. And so what they do is it's about cultivating an environment of enjoying life, enjoying your world, enjoying God and everything that he had done in the week before. And the Jews, they practice Menuha every day, once a day, every week. And they just enjoy the life that God had created for them. They enjoy the world that God had built around them. And they just enjoy the work of their hands and the hands of their God. See, Sabbath is a day when God has my full attention. Sabbath is a day when I am fully present. How many of you on your day off, you just zone out?
Yeah.
But Sabbath is not about that.
Wow.
Sabbath is about being fully present, fully aware of everything that's going on around me, everything that's going on in this inside of me. Sabbath is a day with no to-do list and you don't feel guilty about it. Ooh, some of y'all felt that. Because if you do a day, if you have a day and you haven't done anything, you feel guilty and you feel like you wasted that day. No, Sabbath is a day with no to-do list,
yeah,
where you just enjoy everything that God has built and done around you. It's a day where you savor every second and enjoy the life that God has given you. Now, we see that in this model of God working 6 days and resting one day, working 6 days and resting one day, we see that God established a rhythm for us to live in. The followers of God, he established a rhythm for us to live in. 6 days of work, one day of rest. 6 days of work, one day of rest. 6 days of work, one day of rest. But let's be real, most of us do not live in this rhythm. Most of us live like month after month after month, vacation! Month after month after month, vacation! Instagram, right? We work and we work and we work. Even on our days off, it's not about rest or enjoyment. It's just about catching up. And we work and we work. We don't live in this rhythm. But God established this rhythm so that we can live in a life of rest. Live in a life full of life. What John 10:10 says, life and life to the fullest.
Yeah.
See, on our days off, we may not work for our employer, but we still work.
Yeah.
On our days off, we're paying our bills, right? We're going shopping for more clothes. We're buying groceries. We're cooking. We're doing all these things. We're still working, even if we're not working for our employer.
Mm.
But it's not true rest. And we wonder why we're so tired.
Yeah.
And we wonder why we're so weary. And we wonder why our creativity level goes lower and lower and lower. We wonder why we're not excited for the new start of the week on Monday. We wonder why we're so burnt out. We wonder why we're not filled with joy. It's because we haven't learned the rhythms of rest.
Wow. Yeah.
We haven't learned to tap into that rhythm that God has established. Now, if we look in Genesis 2, there's two things that God declares over the Sabbath, and I want you to take note of this. The first, God blessed the seventh day.
Yeah.
He blessed that Sabbath day. What does that mean, church? It means this. The word in bless here, the word bless here in Hebrew is Barak. Look to your neighbor and say Barak. Look to your other neighbor and say Obama. And what Barak means, it means the ability to make more life. In other words, the Sabbath was meant to be life-giving. If you have a day of Sabbath and you haven't been filled with life, you haven't entered into his true rest. The Sabbath is meant to be life-giving, where you're refilled with strength, where you're refilled with energy, with optimism, with hope, with joy, with creativity, with clarity. The Sabbath was meant to be a day where you receive life and you are filled with life. Now, this is different for everyone. Like I said, Krista, she gets refilled with life when she goes outside and she sees a squirrel run across a tree. She loves the nature that God created. Some of you, you recharge and you're filled with life in nature. For some of you, you recharge when you're being creative, when you're going out taking when you're taking photos. Some of you, you recharge when you do the things that you love to do. What is it that brings you life? This is the first check off the checklist that God is saying for what a true Sabbath is. Number one, it is life-giving. And like I said, it's different all across the board. Yeah. See, for me, cooking is not life-giving, y'all. Cooking is a lot of work. It's buying the ingredients, looking up the recipe, making sure I got it right. And then afterwards, you got to do the dishes. It is not rest for me. But I know for some people, when they cook, they come alive. And as they're cooking, they're like, ooh, I'm going to get on MasterChef one day. And it fills them with life. This is why vegging out isn't rest. True rest is life-giving. See, true rest is not the absence of activity. True rest is when you just enjoy something that you love doing, when you're filling yourself with life. That's why sometimes when on your day off and you just binge watch Black Mirror, I know some of y'all need to repent today because I know you did that. You wonder why you're even more tired at the end of the day. And you wonder why you're tired the next day. I'm guilty of it. I did it last week, y'all. I'm just repenting. What are the things that bring you life? That's the first check mark in what the true Sabbath is. Number two. In the verse, it said, God blessed the seventh day. And the second thing he did was this. He made it holy. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, when we think of holy, we think of the things we're not supposed to do, right? I'm holy because I have abstained from sex until marriage. I am holy because I do not curse. I am holy because I do not get drunk. But actually, holiness, just as much as it's important what you don't do, it's even more important what you do do. And holiness isn't just an abstinence of something. It's actually what you're proactively, intentionally doing. And God saying that I'm going to make the seventh day holy was saying this. By making it holy, God was decreeing that not only would it be a day of rest, life-giving rest, but it would be a day of worship. Some of y'all hearing this and you're sad. Let's be real, because for some of you, it is work to open up the Bible. It is work to sit down, meditate, and pray. But God's saying, I have made the seventh day holy. So not only is it for rest, life-giving rest, but it's also for worship. A day where you spend time with God. It doesn't mean that for 24 hours, the next 24 hours, I'm going to be in the Bible, I'm going to be fasting, I'm going to be it doesn't mean that. But it means intentionally throughout the day, you're inviting God into everything you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm out in nature, God. I see you all around
yeah.
me. I'm cooking. God, thank you for my fingers. I would not be able to cook without them. And whatever you do, you're acknowledging the presence of God. You're spending time with him. The truth is, you cannot separate God and true rest. Can I get an amen? Because I often separate God and true rest, especially for us pastors, because God is kind of our business. You know what I'm saying? This is our work. And so sometimes we just feel like we want to get away from that. But no, true Sabbath, you cannot separate God and true rest. If we look at Exodus, we see this in the life of the Israelites. What happens? The Israelites were captive to Pharaoh. And they were working, working. They were Rihanna, work, work, working, okay? They was working 9 days. They had no break, no rest. God delivers them from Egypt. And they end up wandering the desert for 40 years. And there's something that happens. As they're wandering the desert, they start to starve. But all of a sudden, God, in his miraculous provision, decides, I'm going to rain manna from the sky every single day so that you can eat. So day one, they're hungry, they're starving. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Bread just keeps falling from the sky. They eat in it. They're happy. You know, they're good. Day two, same thing happens. Day three, same thing happens. Day four, same thing happens. Day five, same thing happens. But check this. On day six, something unique happens. Double the portion of manna falls from the sky. And they're like, oh, cool, jackpot. And so they're gathering all the manna. They're eating it together as a community. And then day seven comes by. And nothing. And so they start to calculate in their minds. If I get one portion on Monday, one portion on Tuesday, one portion on day three, one on day four, one on day five, and two on day six, maybe the portion that comes on day six is also for my Sabbath. And God tells Moses this. He says, tomorrow, talking about the Sabbath, is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, collect what you want to collect, and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. What is he saying? He's saying, on the seventh day, you're not to collect bread.
Yeah.
You're just to enjoy it. He's saying to the Israelites, on that seventh day, you don't do any work. That's why I'm going to provide double portion for you on the day before. Why? Because it's a holy Sabbath to the Lord. What was he saying? A holy Sabbath to the Lord means a day dedicated to the Lord. See, some of us are so selfish with our days of rest. And we don't want to dedicate it to the Lord because we feel like it might be tiring or burdensome. But what I want to tell you, church, is true rest cannot be separated from God. It's a day that you dedicate to the Lord, a day of worship. He was commanding the Israelites to prepare for their day of rest. How many of you ever prepare for your day off? I know once in a blue moon, you'll plan something like, I'm going to go to a museum, or I'm going to go to the aquarium. But most of us just kind of fall or stumble into our day of rest. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
But what God is commanding us is prepare yourself so that you do zero work on that day. So that you are just able to fully enjoy life and fully enjoy God. Because how many of you know sometimes the things that we got to get done get in the way of those two things?
Right.
So he's saying, make it a habit to prepare for your day rest. I want to say something. You have to know something about the Israelites. They came out of Egypt. They came out of slavery. And how many of you know that rest is not an option for a slave? For a slave, you have no rights. You have no option to rest. As a slave, you are working day in and day out. You do not have the option to rest. And so as these people were being slaves, as they were serving Pharaoh, Pharaoh was working them day and night without rest. But as they came out, how many of you know that even though they were out of Egypt, God had to undo the Egypt that was inside of them? Because as they came out, they still had this mentality that I'm a slave. And so I got to work, 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 work. But God was undoing all of that by teaching them the rhythm of rest. This is why he taught the Israelites the Sabbath, and this is why he teaches us to do the Sabbath. How many of you know if you live a life without rest, you are a slave to Pharaoh?
Wow.
You are still a slave to Pharaoh. But as a son and a daughter of God, now you have an option, and you have this day set aside to rest. And so once again, the two criteria for your Sabbath, number one, the questions you have to ask is it life-giving? And number two, is it worship? On the Sabbath, you rest and you worship. You rest and you worship. Life-giving, rest and worship. 6 days you work. You work hard. And on the seventh day, life-giving rest and worship. Life-giving rest and worship. Now, what are we going after here? This sounds great, but what is the end goal? And I'll tell you what it is. What true rest does is it restores us. It's no coincidence that you can't spell restore without rest. It would just be or, okay? It's rest door. And what restore means is God is making everything as it should be. You are restoring life and life to the fullest, the life that God had called you to live. You're restoring joy. You're restoring strength. You're restoring creativity. You're restoring life. You're restoring encouragement. You're restoring everything that God has promised you as a new creation believer. He's saying the way that you restore that is through rest. It's to rest in who God is to enjoy life-giving rest and to enjoy God. It restores life to the way that it should be. But not only does it restore us, it leads us into an experience of restoring our world. See, how many of you know that the work that God has called you to do is not just to make money, right? Not just to work at Salesforce or at Instagram or at Facebook or at Twitter. The work that God has called you to complete is to restore this world until it becomes like the kingdom of heaven, like it becomes the kingdom of God. So that when you see something that's out of line with the kingdom, your true work in your workplace and everywhere that you go throughout your day is not just to make money or provide for yourself or survive. The work that God has called you to is a work of restoration, to reconcile this world with the reality of heaven, to say, this world is how it is, but I'm bringing heaven here on this earth. I'm restoring it to the way that it should be. That's the work. And what rest does is it sets us up to restore our world.
That's
it energizes us. It restores us so that we can begin restoring our world. And I want to end with this. Jesus. And Pastor Marcus from New Philadelphia preached this message called Rhythms of Rest. And in it, he talked about how all of this creation narrative, this rhythm of Sabbath, actually ties in to the life of Jesus. And this is what he said. How many of you know that Jesus, on the day that he was arrested, on the day that he was beat, on the day that he was crucified, you know what that day was? It was the day of preparation. In other words, it was the day right before Sabbath. And Jesus, as he was on that cross, and you know that his last words, he says, "It is finished. It is done," was on the day of preparation. And it was on the next day, which was the Sabbath, that he was laid and buried in the tomb. And how many of you know that in the creation narrative, that after the 6 days of work, God rested? You know what he did on that eighth day? He commissioned man to take dominion over the world.
Wow.
He said, "You are Adam. All of this is yours. You have authority over it." What happens on the day after Jesus is buried? He rises from the dead. And the Bible says one of the first things that he says to his disciples is, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth, and now it's yours too." What is this? Why is this important? Because this, Jesus was the preparation for the true rest.
Yeah.
Jesus' death, his crucifixion, him dying on that cross was preparation for you and I to be able to enter into true rest. Jesus is saying, "I have made the way. You don't have to fight to earn your rest. I have died on the cross. I said it is finished." On that day of preparation, on that day that I died, on that day that I suffered, on that day that I gave my last breath, I said, "I am making a way for you to enter into true rest." That's why true rest can only be entered through the person of Jesus. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
But it doesn't just end there. If we look at the verse that we looked at in the beginning, Jesus asks, "Are you tired? Are you burned out? Are you weary?" And he says this. He says, if you're tired, if you're burned out, if you're weary, if you're burdened, go to the spa. No. That's not the translation. Sorry. That was the stupid version. He says, if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're burdened, go to the beach. No. Jesus says, if you're tired, if you're burned out, if you're weary, come to me. See, the Sabbath, I used to think it was just this day, this 24-hour that I set aside. But the Sabbath is so much more than just a day. The Sabbath is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. What am I saying? True rest is not just something that Jesus gives you. True rest is Jesus. He's saying, "Come to me." He didn't say, "Come to me," and I'm like, "Give you." He said, "Come to me. I am your rest. I am the Sabbath. I am the rest that you are longing for. If you're tired, you don't need the spa. You don't need the beach. You need me. Because I am the Sabbath. I am the true rest. I'm not just the giver of rest. I am the rest. And when you come to me, when you're just with me, you can experience the rest that I am talking about." He said, "Come to me." This year, more than anything, I want us to heed this word of scripture. That when you're tired and you're weary and you're burnt out, that you will come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he is the Sabbath. He is the true rest.
Yeah.
Now practically, what does this look like? For many of you, you might not have a very clean schedule where you have a 24-hour window, just free, nothing to do, no work. But I want you to intentionally make space throughout your week. And this is something that I'm literally preaching to myself, like Mickey's right there, because I need to hear this word. To live in the rhythms of grace, we have to learn how to put rest into our schedule.
Yeah.
And so this is my challenge to you, church. Throughout this year, we're gonna come back to this theme again and again. And actually, the whole discipline of simplicity actually is founded on the idea of rest. But as we revisit this again and again throughout the year, I want you to be proactive in setting aside a Sabbath day. And the two questions that you have to ask is this: is it life-giving and is it worship? Is it life-giving? Is it worship? If it's not life-giving, it's not Sabbath. If it's not worship, it's not Sabbath. I want to encourage you to put into the rhythms of your life the 24-hour window where you can just enter into the true Sabbath that God has called us to. And only then will you experience the restoration of your life. Only then will you experience the grace to go out and restore the world around you. So I want us to respond to this word. I want every eye closed. This year, I feel like God is longing to do a restorative work. You see, it's the year of rest, and rest is pretty self-explanatory. But I also believe that it's the year where you're going to get back the rest of your stuff. I believe it's the year that everything that the enemy has stolen from you, everything that the enemy has taken from you, everything that the enemy has tainted in your life, I believe God is saying that he is longing to restore it. He's restoring the broken relationships. He's restoring the discouragement. He's restoring loss of hope. He's restoring those areas of your life, broken dreams. He's restoring the places in your life that have been tainted and taken by the enemy. But the key is not more warfare. The key is learning the rhythms of grace through rest. By learning how to come to Jesus, who is our true Sabbath, who is our true rest. Church, I'm asking you, this year, as difficult as it might be, as much preparation as you might need to make for that one day throughout the week, will you honor the Sabbath the way that God intended it to be honored? I want to make a disclaimer. This is not a sin if you don't Sabbath. It's just stupid. You will burn out. You will find yourself at a loss of life. You will find yourself weary and burdened. Everything that Jesus was asking in the beginning of this verse. But if you set up a routine Sabbath throughout your week, where you engage in life-giving rest and worship, I believe that you will experience a restoration, not just of your soul, but a restoration of the world around you. Will you come to Jesus, our true rest? I believe that there are some of you here today that are hearing this, and you resonate with the questions that are asked before Jesus says, "Come to me." You're here this morning, and you feel weary. You're here this morning, and you feel heavy laden. You're here this morning and you feel burdened. You're here this morning and you feel burnt out. You feel worn out. You feel tired. If that's you, I believe that God is here and he's going to release unto you true rest. Listen, if that's you, I just want you to hold out your arms like you're going to receive something from the Lord. If you are tired in any way, tired in the least bit, I'm putting out my arm right now. I just flew in from Colorado with altitude sickness. I need rest just as much as you do. If you are in need of rest and you're tired, you're worn out, you're burdened, and you're in need of his rest, hold out your arm right now. And I believe Jesus is saying, come to me. Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me, I will give you rest. Come to me, I will give you life. Come to me, I will restore your soul. Come to me, I will restore your strength. Come to me, I will restore your joy. Come to me, I will restore your hope. Come to me, I will restore your life. Right now, just allow God to fill you with his rest, to fill you and restore you with the life that the enemy has stolen. For those who are tired, I believe God is just breathing new life into you. He's breathing new life. Just breathe in and out. And I believe even through your prophetic act of breathing, God is just filling you with this strength. He's filling you with this life. He's filling you with his rest. The second thing that I believe God wants to do is he wants us to make a commitment. A promise, if you will. He wants us to make a promise that I am going to live in this rhythm of grace, this unforced rhythm of grace called the Sabbath and rest. And if you're feeling convicted in your heart right now, I just want you to tell God, yes. Yes, God, I am going to honor the Sabbath. Yes, this year, I'm going to set aside a day where I just engage in life-giving rest and worship. In this day, I'm going to engage in life-giving rest and worship. If that's you, I just want you to make a decision in your heart, and I want you to tell God, Yes, I'm making a promise to you that this year I will live by the Sabbath. I will live entering into your true rest, learning the rhythms of the grace that you have set for me. I am going to enter into your true Sabbath, into your true rest. If that's you, I want you to just make a decision in your heart and just say yes. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes. Last thing I want to say is this. I just feel the word of the Lord coming to many of you, and he's saying this. There are many battles that you've been fighting in your life. You've been fighting for relationships. You've been fighting for your dreams. You've been fighting in your workplace. You've been fighting in your classrooms. You've been fighting in so many areas. You've been engaging in warfare. What I believe God is saying is this. Learn to rest in my victory. Learn to rest in the victory that I've already procured for you. In that broken relationship, have faith that I've already won. In that area of hopelessness, have faith that I've already won. See, rest isn't just about life-giving rest and enjoying God. It's also coming to faith that he has won the victory. He has made the way. He has released every breakthrough. And all I have to do is rest in his victory. For some of you who have been fighting, I feel like God is saying this year, you're just going to rest and trust and believe that I've already won. That I've already released the breakthrough. God, this morning, we come to you. Some of us broken. Some of us heavy laden. Some of us burnt out. But I thank you, the promise of your word is that those who come to you, you will restore their souls. You will restore their life. And so this morning, we just receive your restoration. We receive your life. And Lord, we're excited for this year to live in the rhythms of your grace, to live honoring the true Sabbath. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give a clap offering to the Lord. How did you-